This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Ball in back, Sopola drives, gets it, front, score! It was Hossa at the side of the net. This is 3-2, Chicago.
Mully and Hall, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the score. That was the 2010 NHL Stanley Cup playoffs, Western Conference quarterfinals against Nashville. There you go.
That was one of the biggest games of the dynasty, or the beginning of the dynasty, and Hossa, big part of that.
Let's get to Scott Powers. He writes Blackhawks for The Athletic. Good morning, Scott. How are you?
Morning Scott.
All right, so what are they? What are the Blackhawks here? I mean, they've had an unbelievably hot streak following a really mediocre, a really bad period of time. I mean, they started the season pretty good, then they fall off to the point where you got to fire Coach Q, and then you end up maybe regretting that as they continue to lose. Now, all of a sudden, they seem to be coming around pretty well. And what are they, a game now, one game back from a playoff spot? What are they? What? How do you view them, and what's the real Blackhawks? Will they please stand up?
Yeah, I don't. It's a month ago, a month and a half ago, this doesn't seem like a reality. They're pretty far out of the playoffs, and if the rest of the bottom of the Western Conference wins some games, the Blackhawks remain out of the playoffs. But a lot of teams hit the skids at the same time. The Blackhawks won some games, and they're not, you know, whenever they've played elite teams, they still struggle. They, I kind of think of them as the best of the bad teams right now. And it's still unknown whether they'll get into the playoffs. I mean, there's 20 games left, and they could still end up in last place, or they could still end up in the playoffs. And I think bigger picture is, and I think Stan Bowman and John McDonough and the whole crew know that the Blackhawks don't have what it takes to compete for a Stanley Cup now. So they're not going to fight them, you know, from getting in the playoffs, and you know they may make a few trades, but you know when Kane's playing like this, they're getting decent goaltending. The power play's, you know, just producing as it has. The Blackhawks may still win some games, but I think overall it's a team that, you know, that's fate is maybe a first round exit at most, and you know if the season goes wrong, they could still end up with a lottery pick. So this fun, you know, this has been fun the last few weeks for the Blackhawks and certainly for the fans. And but this has a lot more to do with the rest of the Western Conference just kind of tanking at over the last month and allowing the Blackhawks on this run, you know. But overall, yeah, I don't think big picture means a whole lot.
Scott, tremendous enterprise and execution going to Slovakia, sitting down with Marian Hossa, who has really hadn't talked about the skin condition, which led to his retirement and sort of the earlier than expected exit from the Blackhawks. And I just wondered, you wrote the story and what the reaction has been, and what was your takeaway in sitting down with him? Because I felt like he was pretty open. It's very difficult to talk about something like that. I know how private he is, and yet he laid it all out there for you and talked about just how the condition became untenable and he had to walk away.
Yeah, you know, the fact that it's been almost 2 years and this is the first time he's really allowed, you know, someone to talk to him about it, I think, you know, it says, you know, he's a very private person, and it was something that he dealt with for 4 years, and they kept it very secret, you know. You know, the fact that he often missed practice and morning skates, especially that last year, and nobody had an idea, at least outside the organization. It was something that Hossa, you know, wanted to keep to himself, and the organization made sure it was kept that way. So, you know, it was telling that I think just how much it affected him and how much they didn't want it released, and you know, it finally came to a time where he was willing to discuss it. And I think, you know, having me out there, he was very open. We talked for a couple hours the first day, and you know, I was just surprised at the details. You know, I think a lot of people just unaware of what he was going through, and you know, the fact that he talked about not wanting to touch his children because he you know, just how he felt and how he felt with his body and how much the eczema just it itched him, and there were nights where he'd wake up and he'd been itching himself all night, and his wife would be like, you know, like holding his hand and saying that, you know, Marion, you're itching yourself, and he was unaware of it because he was just doing it in his sleep, and he'd wake up with these bloody sheets, and just the details of what he went through, I don't think a lot of people had any idea. So it was eye opening, you know, just what he had to go through, and I think that it sort of closed a lot of the doubts of what I think there are a lot of questions about, you know, how extreme this was and whether this was something that maybe the Blackhawks or, you know, Marion Hossa found a way for him to get out of his contract or
right.
him to walk away from hockey. And this was the other side of the story where it was really, last year was, or 2 years ago, was really tough on him. And it was difficult for him to walk away because he was playing well still, despite his age being at 38, he had scored 26 goals and he felt good. And he said that too, you know, he was really enjoying hockey, but, he was taking these pills and, you know, and having all these issues and just worrying about his future too. And finally decided, enough was enough, and it just wasn't worth it. So yeah, it was really, I didn't know those details, and, you know, even going there, I had an idea that he was going to talk about it, but he really went into it and really opened up about everything he went through.
Let's talk about what's going on right now in terms of Corey Crawford perhaps coming back. We were talking about it this morning, Scott, and I don't know that he has any trade value at all, but I don't know that I would want him back at this point, just because you don't know, coming off an injury like that, how much time he has in his career, how long he'll be able to play. You look at his age, you look at the guy is a very accomplished player. I'm not dismissing that idea, but he's also not been available. And if you could clear up some money, isn't that as important as having him back?
Yeah. I mean, I don't see what the value is or what teams would take that risk at this point. I mean,
right.
it's a lot of money. It's a $6 million cap hit. It's another season. It sounds like, I mean, everything the Blackhawks have said, it's up to Corey Crawford. And that's difficult too, I think, for a lot of people to comprehend and grasp, because I think a lot of people see the risk of him going back out there for his health and, him having, if he suffers another concussion, what that means. And, he hasn't been very, very open about what he's gone through. And, even this last time he says he's feeling better than his last concussion, but he's still been out for a few months. You know, the stuff we know way too much about what about these head injuries than we once did. And, it's scary. And the fact that he's had multiple concussions within a few years and obviously severe ones where he's not bouncing right back and they're putting him back on the ice. And they're obviously being very, very cautionary this last time. And especially the time before where he sat out for so long. But, I don't know. I mean, the fact that he's out there for practice and, you know, they've obviously increased his practice load, and it seems like the trajectory is him for him to come back and play. And this season, I guess he's made his decision. The Blackhawks are obviously supporting that. And, they haven't said a lot about what medically, about, what's happening in closed doors. But there's obviously enough evidence there that they feel like that he's okay to play. So, I don't see them trading him. They got another year on his contract. I don't know if he's the goalie of the future. You know, the fact that Colin Delia just signed that contract and played so well, you know, in 2 years he could be the starter. But, I foresee Crawford coming back this season and probably being the number one next season too.
Scott, before we let you go, I think you know this roster and the organization as well as anybody in the Chicago media, and you've studied it. And so when you look ahead, do the Hawks have to make the playoffs for them to look at this season as a success? And I ask that because the best young players in the pipeline play defense and they're defensemen. And when you look ahead at what this roster is and how young it is, Strom, DeBrincat, and you still have Kane and Toews playing at a high level, will they end this year, regardless of where they end up, feeling very good about next season being able to contend?
No, there's a lot of questions about how quickly those young defensemen be ready. I mean, you have guys that are 18, 19, 20 years old. in the pipeline, and there's certainly a lot of hope there, but it's hard to say that all those guys are going to take steps like Henry Yokiharu did this season. Even now Yokiharu's in the American League, and, you know, they don't feel like he's exactly ready, and definitely a year from now, I think he's, you know, he's definitely a permanent fixture in that lineup, but, you know, this could be a couple of years from, you know, Adam Boqvist and Nicholas Beaudin and Ian Mitchell, the three defensemen they really talk about being ready. So, you know, I think a playoff now would help Strom and Debrinka. That's good. But I don't think this team as is, it's the one you'll see going forward, especially defensively. I mean, they need to make some changes. And, you know, I think Keith and Seabrook are here to stay in Murphy. And, you know, Gus has been shown that he can be the lead, you know, offensive defenseman. There's certainly questions about his defensive play, but they need to evolve, and there need to be some, you know, roster changes for them to be good again. And they certainly, you know, Stan Bowman's talked a lot about those young defensemen, but there's no guarantee that they're 1 year away. It could be a couple of years, and they're going to have to go through some growing pains. And it may not be NHL ready next year too. I'm curious to see who comes out of training camp and can make that team, but there's no guarantee that this team's, you know, ready a year from here. It might be a 2 year project though.
Scott, thanks a ton. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, Scott. Great story.
That is Scott Powers from The Athletic covering the Blackhawks. Yeah. I just felt all along that was a way around the salary cap, and it's hard to view it any other way. I mean, that's awful if he was going through all that, but didn't that seem way too convenient?
It did. It was a shock to everyone's system, I think, at the time,
yeah,
to think that he was going to let a skin condition kind of, you know, lead to the end of his career, and yet the way that he described it, it was pretty consuming.
Let's get to Joe with a scoreboard update.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.